Let's clap our hands and love the Lord in this place. Come on, somebody bless him right now. Jesus, we love you. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Come on, clap your hands and love him right now. There is nobody like him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What an honor it is to be here with you again. My family and I, we are so delighted to be here with you. And if you'll take your Bibles, we will go to the book of Jude, chapter number 1, starting with verse number 17, Jude 1 and 17. And I will skip around quite a bit here tonight. I believe that tonight is such an important service leading up to Sunday. I'm believing for another great day of harvest. We're rejoicing over the, I believe it was 4 that was baptized on Sunday, the 3 that received the Holy Ghost, those that have received miracles. One of these sisters over here, she waved at me. She said, "It's been 3 days and still no pain in my body. The Lord's healed me." Oh, I think we ought to clap our hands and give him glory for that. I don't know what you need tonight, but I believe it's in the room. I don't know what you need tonight, but I believe he can do it here tonight. What an honor it is to be here with you. And I give honor to your pastor and this pastoral family. We've enjoyed our time with them. And we'll get into the word of the Lord. And the Bible says in Jude chapter number 1, verse number 17, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time." Somebody say the last time. Somebody say the last days. I preached a little bit about that on Sunday. Anybody know we are still in the last days? Said, "Who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit." He spoke of that perverse spirit that is in the world, saying that they had not the Spirit. That is a capital S. That is talking about the Spirit of God. Amen. That's talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Does anybody have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Said, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Verse 20 said, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Does anybody know about praying in the Holy Ghost? Well, if you don't know about it, you picked a good night to be at church tonight. Because I'll tell you what's going to happen. In the next few moments, I am going to preach, teach, speak, whatever you want to call it. We're going to talk about praying in the Holy Ghost tonight. So what we're going to do, I'm going to teach you what it means and how to pray in the Holy Ghost. And then we are going to pray in the Holy Ghost. All right? There is no telling what God is about to do in this room here tonight. I want you to lift up your hands across the room and let your voice out and say, "God, let me grab a hold of this tonight and incorporate this in my life. God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your house. God, there's somebody here, God, tonight, God, that's going to put this in their arsenal. Somebody's prayer life will be forever changed tonight. They will get a hold of this. I pray that you would help me. Help me to flow in the Holy Ghost. Help me, God, to follow, Lord, the leading of the Spirit." Now I want you to lay your hand on your neighbor and just begin to let your voice out and speak in that unknown language right now. Come on, somebody take about 30 seconds to lift your voice.
on, clap them hands as hard as you can right now. Clap them hands as hard as you can. Glory to the Lord. I feel victory in the house tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mama yo mohosiala mahakayere mohosa. Please be seated. Across the room here tonight, praying in the Holy Ghost. I will begin tonight in the book of Luke, chapter number 5. The Bible says that Jesus walks up to the sea. He walks up to the lake, and there on the side of the lake, there were two boats that stood there. They were empty boats. Nobody was in these boats. And he looks over and he sees that there are frustrated fishermen who, they are not the disciples yet, but at this meeting, this is actually going to be the meeting where Jesus begins to call his disciples. But on this day, he sees empty boats and he sees frustrated fishermen. Why were they frustrated? They were frustrated because the Bible says the fishermen were not in the boats, but they were washing their nets. Somebody say they were washing their nets. They were washing their nets. If you look at other translations of this, and not only other translations, but also other places in the Gospels where we see this story written, we will understand that they were not just washing their nets, but they were mending their nets. They were putting their nets back together. Their nets had become broken. Their nets had become dirty and had become torn. And the Bible says that Jesus walks up into the ships that are standing there by the lake. And the Bible says, as he begins to teach, he looks over at the ringleader of these fishermen. His name was Simon Peter. And he tells Simon, he says, thrust out a little from the land. He sits down and he continues to teach. And then before he closes up his sermon, he turns again to Simon Peter and he tells him the exact same thing in just a little bit different way. And he tells him, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And here we can see the reason why there was frustrated fishermen. Here we can see why there were broken nets, dirty nets, torn nets, however you want to label them as. We see exactly why their nets needed repair. And that was because Jesus told them twice, I'll tell you why your nets are so broken. I'll tell you why your nets are so dirty. I'll tell you why you are putting your nets back together when you should be fishing right now. And that is because the last time you were fishing in shallow water. You've got to go out to the deep. You've got to launch out a little further than you've been. You've been casting your nets in the shallow and they've been dragging bottom. You've been casting your nets in the shallow and they've been getting snagged and being drugged through the mud. And this is why you feel like there's no fish in the sea anywhere. Let me tell you, there comes a time in the life of every single Christian. It doesn't matter if you are male or female. It doesn't matter if you are young or old. There comes a time in the life of every single one of us where we've got to make up our mind. I have caught everything that I'm going to catch in the shallow. And if I'm going to get what I am truly wanting, I've got to get out of shallow places.
there comes a time that you gotta say, shallow prayer is not working for me anymore. Shallow devotions are not working for me anymore. My shallow worship, my shallow hand claps, somebody hear me today. I've not come to point fingers or be ugly, but I come to tell you, there comes a time in your life that you got to look around and say, what I've been doing is not working for me. And I've got to go a little bit further than I have been going. You know what I've found out? You know what I've learned about the church in 2022? A lot of us are satisfied with not much at all. A lot of us are satisfied with just a little tingle here and there. But let me tell you, the Lord has already showed me what I can have. He showed me visions, and He's given me dreams, and He showed me the gifts of the Spirit, and He showed me signs and wonders and miracles. Why in the world would you want anything else? But everything that we have, that we have access to. I'm preaching to somebody. You know what it's like to come in on Sunday and say, God, you gotta fix my broken nets. You gotta put it back together. I got nothing but dirt. I got nothing but brokenness. And God reaches down on Sunday morning and He puts it all back together. And here comes Monday, you're standing in the shallow. And here comes Tuesday, you're still in the shallow. And you really ain't prayed, and you really ain't tapped in, and you really ain't went out, and you really ain't went deep. Here comes Wednesday night, here I am at the altar again. God, you gotta put it all together. All along with the devil telling you, there ain't no fish there. Nobody else is catching anything. You're not gonna catch anything. Let me tell you, there is a place that we can go in the Spirit. There is a place that we can go in the Spirit. There is a place that God is calling every single individual in this church to right now. Where your nets do not drag bottom. And there is a multitude of fish. I gotta tell you, them disciples, they looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. Let me put that in English for you. They said, Jesus, we fished all night and there ain't one fish in there. But nevertheless, at your word, we're gonna do it your way. Let me tell you, Jesus' way is never shallow. Shallow convictions won't work for me. Shallow prayer won't work for me. Hey, let me tell you, I can't just be a Sunday morning only Christian, but there's got to be something in me that reaches for everything that He has. I want to tell you, it calls men to fall on their knees and say, we are unworthy to follow you, after they saw everything that God had for them. I've got to tell you, somebody in this room, The adversary's convinced you that you've got all you're going to get. You've got the greatest revelation. You've got the Holy Ghost. There's nothing else for you. I rebuke that voice in the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, there is so much more. There is so much more. But you got to make up your mind. I've stood in shallow for too long. My hand clap doesn't make me deep. The lifting of hands doesn't make me deep. Coming to church on Wednesday doesn't make me deep, but there's got to be a pursuit. I've got to press. I've got to reach. There's got to be something in me that says, I haven't seen it yet, but I know there's something out there. I haven't seen it yet, but visions and dreams are for me. I haven't seen it yet, but the gifts of the Spirit are for me. Lord, have mercy. If we're not careful, we'll believe that the gifts of the Spirit are only for two gray-haired ladies in our church. I'm thankful for them elders that'll tap in. But I'm talking about a generation who has hands in their pockets. Oh, Jesus. I'm talking about young people that God wants to anoint. I'm talking about young men and young ladies that are on these first two rows that God wants to anoint right now. Not when you're 40 years old. Not after you get married. But God's saying, I got something for you now. But you got to make up your mind. I'm going to go out there where I have never been before. And I've got to try it. I've got to reach. Hey, I want to tell you, there is something that is happening in the world right now. In the midst of end time prophecy coming to pass, there is a drawing to the prayer closet. If you have any Holy Ghost at all, you felt this. Oh, God pulling. God saying, I got so much more. I want to pour out something that's greater than the former. Oh, Jesus. I've got to pour out something. Hey, you know what? God's ready to use you now. God doesn't want you to sit and develop for 15 years. You got to stand up and say, I'm ready to get my net. He's put me back together. Oh, how dare I stay in shallow waters and drag through this walk with God. I've come to tell you here today, there is an invitation to the deep places of God. Somebody lift up your hands and pray right now. There's an invitation to the deep places of God. There's an invitation to the deep places of God. God wants to use people in the gifts of the Spirit that's never been used in the gifts of the Spirit. God wants to anoint people that's never been anointed before. I've come to tell you there's a revival in you, but you got to go out to the deep. You can continue to have frustration in your shallow prayers. Or you can make up your mind, there's something in me that's about to press like it never has before. Woo! There's something that God's doing in this church. I was here Sunday morning just like some of you were. There's a drawing, there's a pulling, but somebody's got to make up their mind and say, I'm not just going to stand here and just let it just keep pulling me. I've got to go with the current. It's pulling me to the deep. I've never been there, but I'm willing to go. David declared in Psalm 107:23, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. These are not shallow places, but these are deep places of prayer. Everybody wants a word from God. Everybody wants a miracle. Everybody wants to see God work. But the psalmist made it very clear. He said, they that go down to the sea in ships. He said, not those that are wading in the shallow, but those that seek to do business in great waters. These are the ones that are going to see the works of the Lord. Why? Because His wonders are in the deep. Lord, have mercy. You've been saying, I want His wonders. I want His power. Where's it at? It's not in the shallow. You got to reach for places that you've never reached for before. David declared again in Psalm 109:4, but I give myself unto prayer. Lord, have mercy. He said, I give myself unto prayer. David said, I give myself. Let me tell you, we are all giving ourselves to something. Every single day we are giving ourselves to something. But David said, I'm not just going to pray, but I'm going to give everything I have. In that moment, I'm about to put the phone on airplane mode. I'm about to forget about the schedule. I'm going to quit worrying about the bills. I'm going to get off YouTube and I'm going to get my face in the carpet and I'm going to say, God, I'm giving myself completely and totally. Oh, he said, I'm not just going to stand in the shallows, but he dove off as deep as he could. If I'm wanting real results, I've got to give myself entirely to prayer. I cannot gradually respond. We got this thing, man. We got this thing in Pentecost and it eats me up. And I can't do it everywhere because I'd be kicked out of every church that I went to if I did it. We got this thing where the preacher will say something. Somebody will just go. They don't want it. Brother Smith, you know what I'm talking about? Don't want it. And my question is, why in the world are you here if you don't want everything that He has available to you? There's got to be a time that you dive off. You dive in. And you say, I don't know what's out there, but I'm going. I'm talking to, there's people in this room. You dove off the deep end when it came to drugs. You dove off the deep end when it came to the clubs. You dove off the deep end. But here, now that you're saved and now that you're sanctified and you spoke in tongues, there's a reservation. What in the world has a reservation ever got anybody in the kingdom of God? You need a Jacob moment where you grab a hold of the supernatural and you say, no, I'm not leaving early, I'm not letting go, but I'm going to hold on for a while until He changes me. He changes everything about me. In Acts 6 and 4, the apostles declared to the multitude, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. There's nothing more apostolic than giving yourself wholly to prayer and the things of God. What would happen tonight on a Wednesday night? You already got it checked off on your monthly checklist or your weekly checklist. You made it on Wednesday night. Now what are we going to do? I made it. I'm feeling good that I made it. No, let me tell you, there's something out there. You're living in frustration right now because you're seeing somebody else being blessed. You're seeing somebody else being used. But my question is, when are you going to make up your mind? Shallow water is not where it's at. Shallow is not where it's at. There's wonders for me, but it's out there. Oh, there's not a lot of people out there. Oh, hey, let me tell you, if you went to the beach this weekend, you know where you see everybody? Everybody be right there. Oh, you know what? We feel a wave every now and then. We like that. Oh, you know what it's like? Wave of the Holy Ghost. I feel a wave. Oh, it's good. But yeah, somewhere you're going to see some little kid on a floaty way out there. Real small and you can barely see him. Let me tell you, in the spirit, that's where I want to be. I'm okay with being the one that's way out there. Oh, and it's a little bitty in the eyes of everybody else. Oh, but God is saying, oh, come on, let me take you where nobody else will go. Hey, I'm talking about the realm of answered prayers. I'm talking about the realm of miracles. I'm talking about the realm of when you open up your mouth, the spirit world begins to respond to your prayers. Somebody lift up your hands and say, God, I'm not going to pray. I'm giving myself to prayer right now. God, I'm not just going to lift my voice. I'm getting in the flow. I'm getting in and I'm letting it carry me away. When's the last time you got carried away and you didn't know what time it was? I'm preaching about giving yourself to that place of prayer. Come on, somebody go beyond that. Go beyond that. Go beyond English. Go beyond English. Go beyond Spanish. Oh, you can live your entire walk with God and not go to the deep places. But there is a portal. There is an opening. God is saying, I will take you if you will go. Come on, we got to get our lives built on prayer again. You want to know why some of us don't pray like we should?
Because we think we got this thing figured out. We think we can sing without Him. We think we can play without Him. We think we could preach without Him. Oh, but let me tell you this, old boy, I laid in that pastor's office today. I laid on the ground. I said, God, I just got to remind you, I can't do this without you. You've got to show up. If I preach and nothing happens, oh, it's not going to be because of me. It's going to be because you didn't show up. I need you in it. I need you in every aspect of what I do. You can't be satisfied with shallow. I'm going to go on. But right now, I'm telling you, somebody, you've been satisfied with shallow. You better get on your feet and say, God, I am no longer satisfied with shallow. But I've got to go beyond it. We're living in a generation of story hearers. We're living in a generation of story hearers where we heard the stories of those before us. I got a question. Where's your stories? Where's your story when God laid hands, when you lay hands on somebody and God answered? I'll tell you where they're at. They're in the deep. Where are your stories? They're in the deep. You better go get them. Where are your stories? Where are you? They're in the deep. I want to tell you what God's doing. God's looking at a generation. He's saying, I want to change you from a story hearer into a storyteller. But if you're going to be a storyteller, you got to go out and reach for where them wonders are. Hey, hey, God wants to confirm this gospel so bad, but you got to be all in with it. Come on, lift your hands and talk in tongues right now. I feel so commissioned by the Holy Ghost to preach this to this church here tonight. Listen to me. If we're not careful, we'll make talking in tongues something we do once a month. If we're not careful, we'll make talking in tongues something we do every other revival. If we're not careful, we'll make talking in tongues something we do every time we start feeling bad again. Let me tell you, oh, whenever the church has lost talking in tongues, we have lost something. Let me change what I just said. If the church has lost talking in tongues, they have lost absolutely everything. I want to tell you, there is nothing more powerful than speaking in that unknown language. There's a reason that when you feel it, and there's a law in the service. There's a reason when there's a lull in the service and that Holy Ghost starts moving on somebody and you feel it coming up and you want to speak it out. There's a reason that voice says, hey, don't speak that out. There's a reason that voice says, don't speak that out loud right now. Don't speak that. Hey, let me tell you, in my home church, it still happens. But I remember a day it happened even more where there would be a sister. Oh, never sang on the platform, never preached, never done anything like that. Oh, but there would be, the Holy Ghost would get on her. And the next thing you know, she'd stand up. Oh, it may be in the middle of announcements. It may be in the middle of transition of songs. It may be in the middle of an offering. But somebody stood up and they just couldn't keep it in. The Holy Ghost began to speak out of them. And they began to speak in that unknown tongue. And guess what? The Holy Ghost comes in and bombs the place. Hey, when are the days? Where are the days of divine interruptions? I need God to interrupt my service. Oh, but that devil say, hey, keep it down. Nobody else is speaking in tongues like that. It ain't the moment. It ain't the time. Keep it down. I pray the Holy Ghost gets on you so strong, oh, that we got to carry you home because you can't quit speaking in tongues. We need a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. We need a fresh baptism of that Holy Ghost that burns out, oh, that burns out all the pride and burns out all the worry. and burns out of what everybody else is thinking about me. I've got to tell you, God chose the tongue.
I don't believe in all that talking in tongues business. Well, God chose the tongue. I can't come, I don't understand all that. Speaking, well, let me talk to you a little bit about it. God chose the tongue. It was James that said in James 3:3, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, somebody say, even so. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of the things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. James said, oh, he said, I could see that stallion. He said, I see that racing stallion with all its muscles and its flared nostrils. Brother Colin, he said, I could see. He said, I could see this stallion, that racing stallion as it runs. He said, oh, there's nothing in the world that's brave enough to get in his way. But there is something on the inside of that horse's mouth. On the inside of that stallion, there is a little metal bit. He said, and I know how everything looks on the outside, and I know the speed, and I know its strength, but you know what? Every way that it turns and everything that it does is dependent completely on what is going on with its mouth. He said, I can see. He said, I can see that ship. Oh, as it's navigating through them seas. He said, oh, as big as it is, the helm of the ship is what controls everything. Oh, let me tell you. Then he said, even so, the tongue is a little member. He said, I know that it may not seem a big deal to you. Oh, but the tongue, oh, to the church is the same thing. The bit was to the stallion, and the tongue to the church is the same thing that the helm of the ship was to that great big ship. He said, let me tell you what is going on with the tongue. We'll tell you the true story about what is going on with the church. Hey, you, the Bible said that the tongue is a fire. You want me to tell you why there's churches with no fire? Because there's churches that don't speak in tongues until they come to the altar and pray through at the end of the service. We gotta have talking in tongues in pre-service prayer. We gotta have talking in tongues in the worship service. Honey, if we have lost talking in tongues, we have lost it all. He said, something so small controls everything. He said, inside the tongue lies man's greatest weakness and man's greatest spiritual power. The tongue is a fire. Somebody's got to loose that fire in this room here tonight. Somebody's got to loose that fire when you get home and you're in your prayer closet and you ran out of words to say. You know what I've learned? When I hit a brick wall in prayer and I don't know what else to say, maybe it's God just saying, all right, boy, just let me do the talking. Speak in that unknown tongue. Let the Holy Ghost do the word.
Hey, I'm come to preach to a new generation of prayer warriors. I've come to preach to a new generation of intercessors. Where does it start? It starts with the tongue. It starts with the tongue. We are the upper room church that speaks in tongues. We are the upper room church that the fire flows through. Oh, I wish somebody would lift up your hands and let that tongue speak out. Devil, you've kept me silent for too long. There ain't nothing worse than a Pentecostal church that won't speak in tongues. Hey, let's prove the sign right and say we are a Pentecostal fire church. Woo, grab your neighbor by the hand and pray in the Holy Ghost. Jude said, in the last days, there's going to be a sensual spirit, but then there's going to be those that are of the Spirit. If you are of the Spirit, build up yourselves praying in the Holy Ghost. He didn't just say build up your neighbor. He said building up yourselves. You don't know why some of us are so beat down all the time? Because we don't pray in the Spirit. Oh, but if I let that Holy Ghost speak out of me, Pastor Thompson, there's something that begins to happen. Listen to me. We could just let it blow right now, but we ain't going to. Everybody listen to me. Those that are praying in the Spirit, brother in the corner, hold on to me for a second. We teaching on praying in the Holy Ghost here tonight. I need you to put a scripture up on the screen for me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 14 and verse number 2. Somebody say praying in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, there's only two things you really have to pray in the Holy Ghost. Number one, you got to have a prayer. You got to pray. Man, we're going deep tonight. But number two, you got to have the Holy Ghost. And if you will incorporate the two, if you will incorporate that tongue that's speaking out of everything you don't know, and you will incorporate that into the prayer and praying about all the things you really don't know about, I promise you it will completely revolutionize everything that you are as a child of God. Because you turn from somebody that's so consumed with worry to somebody that is consumed with war. Some of you've been so consumed with worry, but God is looking for somebody that'll stand up and say, in these last days, I'm about to raise the wall, and I'm about to push back on the darkness of this city. You can't be full of worry and war at the same time. That's why I've got to incorporate praying and the Spirit into praying in the Spirit. You got the Spirit. You got a prayer. God's saying it's time to put them together. Hear me right now. There is nothing more powerful in your life than that tongue that you have. Oh, preacher, you don't understand. I've been beat down. Oh, I know you have, but after tonight, you're going to know how to be built up. I've been so broken. I've been so, you know what God's saying? God's saying, I see you with your nets on the side of the shore. I see you trying to put it all together, but let's go to a place where them nets won't drag bottom. Let's go to a place where it's deeper than anything that you've been before. Paul wrote and said, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. Well, I don't know about all that talking in tongues stuff. I can't come to your church. I don't believe. You know what? I don't know what anybody's saying. You know what you ought to say? Next time somebody says that to you, you ought to look them in the eye and say, man, my Lord, have mercy. You don't know how much in the Bible you really are. Because we don't know neither. When I'm speaking an unknown tongue, it's not to you. And when you're speaking an unknown tongue, it's not to me. It's unto God. They used to sing that song, Jesus on the main line. Call him up, call him up. You want me to tell you how to get him on the main line? We ain't got to bring that song back up in here to get him on the main line. All we got to do is pray in the Holy Ghost. And God stands up at attention. Call him up. Call him up. How do I do it? When I pray in the Holy Ghost. He said it is a direct connection between God and his people. He that speaketh an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Brother, you are so in the book. You're not supposed to understand me. You didn't make them feel like they know what they're talking about. He said, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Somebody say mysteries. Brother Colin, you have the Holy Ghost. I've heard you pray. You pray in the Holy Ghost. Why would you? Or why would I? Why would anybody in this service that prays in the Holy Ghost want to speak mysteries? Why? If that's what this truly is, why would you want to speak mysteries? Why would you want to pray and speak a bunch of gibberish that nobody understands and nobody knows? Paul was writing, he was speaking to the Corinthian church, telling them the power that was in that unknown tongue. That tongue that man doesn't understand. That tongue that's not talking to man himself. That tongue that is speaking directly to God, but also is speaking mysteries. Oh, when you look in the Amplified Version, I like this. It says, for one who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to people but to God. For no one understands him or catches his meaning, but by the Spirit he speaks mysteries, secret truths, and hidden things. I want you to put up Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 26. Brother Colin, I want you to stand right over here. Brother, what's your name again? Brother Josh, I want you to come stand over here. You know, yeah, stand on that, stand on the floor. That's good. So we've got Brother Colin here. He says, I've got to pray. He said, I got to pray for Brother Josh. Every time he walks in the room, he looks at him and he says, man, I don't know what it is, but I got to go pray for him. He lays down in the bed at night and he says, man, I don't know what it is, but I can't shake it. God wants to do something in the life of Brother Josh, but I don't know what it is. It's just one big mystery to me. I don't have a clue what God's wanting to do here. Anybody ever been there? So Brother Colin, comes up. He says, oh, you know what? It's altar service. And it's moving around here. He said, you know what? I'm going to pray for that joker. And he goes and lays hands. He said, God, I want you to touch his life. I want you to touch his family. I want you to touch his finances. And he's got the preacher voice on. He's going, ha, ha, ha. And I want you to move in his home. Ha. And I want you to do it. I want you to do everything you need to do.
Right.
And guess what? No breakthrough. No breakthrough at all. Not even a tear down his eye. And Brother Colin says, my God, I guess I'm not called to be an altar worker. This is what happens in our churches. You go and you lay hands on somebody, it don't happen. And you say, you know what, I ain't never doing that again. I ain't never stepping out again. And guess what? We end up having a bunch of people on the altars and a bunch of saints in the pews. That ain't the will of God. That we ain't gonna see harvest that way. But there's gotta be somebody that can pray in confidence. That's why I'm teaching this to you tonight. Are you ready? Oh, but brother Colin, he has the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Ghost, right, brother? And it says in Romans 8, if you'll put this up, Romans 8 and 26, likewise the Spirit. Somebody say the Spirit. That's a capital S. That is the Spirit of God. That is the Holy Ghost that is in you. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Paul told Rome, there's going to be times that you don't know what to pray. There's going to be times that you call out every need in the book. And it just don't happen. Living in the land of the unknown. I don't know what to say, but he said, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That means our weakness. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Anybody ever didn't know the prayer to pray? Right now, you got a situation in your life. Oh God, you got a situation in your family. You got a situation with the health of your family. You got a situation with your finances, and you don't even have words for it. Paul said, you will not know what to pray. He said, but the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession. Somebody say intercession. You know what intercession means? To stand in the gap. See, because he don't know. He don't know everything that's going, but the Spirit knows everything. So he got two choices. You can go and you can pray in Spanish. Can you speak Spanish? Man, I'm impressed. You can go pray in Spanish. You can go and pray in English. You can do all this stuff. Or you can do this. I want you to come up right here. You can do this. When he says, you know what? I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. And as he goes to lay hands on his head, he begins to speak in that unknown tongue. Lord, I want you to pray for Josh. Oh, God, I want you to touch Josh as I pray for him. I want you to move in Josh's world. God, you see everything that he needs. He got more your and something happens as he goes to lay hands on him. What really happens is this. Because the Spirit begins to offer intercession. Oh, only he can do so much, but he can do everything. I'm trying to give you a visual of the power of praying in the Holy Ghost. You know what you need? You know what you need in your family? You don't need another 30-minute prayer session all in English. You need the Spirit to step in and lay hands on your situation. So next time you feel God say, you need to pray for your pastor or family. You need to pray for your first lady. Don't get on the phone and say, what can we pray about? No, 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 no. You get on your face and you let that fire begin to speak. And it's then that the Spirit stands up and says, I will pray through you. No wonder the adversary wants us to quit talking in tongues. No wonder the adversary's convinced you it's just a ticket to heaven. And that's all it is. The apostolic church needs to stand up and let their tongue speak out. The Amplified Version says, in the same way, the Spirit comes to us and helps us in our weakness. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should, but the Spirit Himself knows our need. You don't always know the need, but the Spirit always knows. When I begin to speak in that unknown tongue, I tap in to the all-knowing one.
I know what it's like. I know what it's like to have a bunch of unknown stuff in my life. I know what it's like to have crazy diagnosis in my family. I know what it's like to look at a bunch of unknown. But you know what I've learned to do? When I don't know, I begin to go to prayer. And I get that situation at the forefront of my mind. God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know how you're going to touch them. I don't know how you're going to change it. But when I begin to speak in that unknown tongue, I want to tell you, all of heaven begins to stand up, because God stands up and everything stands up with him. I've got to tell you, he said, but the Spirit himself knows our need, and at the right time intercedes on our behalf. Watch this. With sighs and groanings too deep for words. Why should I pray in the Spirit? Why should I pray in the Holy Ghost? Because I can speak mysteries. Because I can go over to my brother and my sister, and I don't know what's going on in their life, and I can lay hand on them. Go to the next verse, will you? Let me tell you what praying in the Spirit gets you. Verse number 27. Throw up verse number 27 of Romans 8, please. Very next verse. Romans 8 and 27 says, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We've had people say, oh, I want the will of God for my life. You know how to pray the will of God? You pray in the Spirit. Because Paul said, oh, whenever you pray in the Spirit, when that Spirit stands up and makes intercession for you, he said, he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What's that means? That means that the Holy Ghost never misses. I've missed at times. But when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, when I'm speaking that unknown tongue, or when I'm being a conduit and letting that fire flow through me, it's at that moment that I'm praying the divine direct will of God. Preacher, I don't know my future. It's time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Preacher, I don't know what's next. It's time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Next verse, 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We preach about this. We have it on bumper stickers. Oh, but you want to know what that scripture was really talking about? He was talking about a church that had the Spirit in the work of intercession for them, and things begin to connect and things begin to work together. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 14 and 4 says, he that speaketh the unknown tongue edifieth himself. To edify means to build up. No wonder Jude said, oh, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Hear me right now. If we're not careful, we won't pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's stand across the room. I'm always so intrigued about the story of Paul. I look at the story of Paul, and I see that he was beat. I hear he was shipwrecked. I hear that he was imprisoned. I'm talking about a man that wrote half of the New Testament, and the majority of it, he wrote it behind bars. If you were in prison today, if I was in prison today, you know what I'd do? I'd be starting every prayer line I could. I'd be writing letters to Brother Thompson. Start a prayer line for me. But you know what Paul was doing in them moments? He said, oh, give me a pen. I need a pen. The Holy Ghost just spoke to me. Something for a church. He begins to write under the divine unction of the Holy Ghost. History tells us, many scholars and theologians, they'll say that the guards had to be switched out every 15, 20 minutes because he would convert them into Christianity. I'm talking guards with a sword would put down the sword and say, we got to find some water because I got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. How was he so powerful? I believe I found the answer. If Paul could get up and testify, Brother Paul, we're giving you the floor. What did you do that made you so powerful? That made you to be able to withstand any storm, any dungeon, any beating, any viper, any shipwreck? I want you to put this up there. Put up 1 Corinthians 14 and 18. You got to see this. 1 Corinthians 14 and 18. Brother Paul, we're going to ask you to give a testimony here tonight. Can you do it? Is it going to go up there? 1 Corinthians 14, 18. We're going to waste. Let's lift our hands right now, everybody. Let's lift our hands. I want everybody to see this. Lift your hands and pray right now. God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this room. He said this, 1 Corinthians chapter number 14 and verse number 18. He said, I thank my God. I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul couldn't boast about this. This was not a brag. In God's holy scripture, Brother Thompson, if there was a bit of arrogance in this, it wouldn't have made it. In Paul's writing, if this was more Paul than it was God, then he would have said, no, that's not going in there, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So if we ask Paul, how did it happen from a scripture reference, we can see Paul is saying, oh, somewhere in the midst, when I was on the ship and it was falling apart, oh, there was something that came over me when everybody else was doubting, and I hear katarabaho satay. I was speaking in tongues, and when they would beat me, there was something that came up on the inside of me, and I would speak in that unknown tongue, and I'd get in that dungeon, and I'd start feeling sorry for myself, and the next thing I knew, there was something that came on me, and I couldn't pray a quiet prayer, but I had to speak in that unknown language. What am I telling you? I'm telling you, you can make it through anything if you will pray in the Holy Ghost. I want us to lift our hands in this room right now. Listen to me, just lift up your hands. It's the first thing we're going to do. First thing we're going to do is we're going to repent in this room for not praying in the Holy Ghost. Because this is in the Word of God. And God wants to ignite us like never before. But as we repent, oh, as we repent and we say, God, forgive me, cleanse me, wash me. I have taken this gift for granted and not used it the way that you wanted me to use it. After we pray that prayer, I want you to throw your hands up and lift your voice in praise. And I believe there's going to be a fresh flow, a fresh falling of the Holy Ghost on you. And we're going to begin to speak in that unknown tongue. Come on, let's lift our hands right now. God, we are having a church-wide repentance here tonight. You have given us the most powerful gift that man or woman could ever have. We pray tonight that you would forgive us, God, for not using it to its full potential. But God, we are completely and we are totally on board to go to deep places, to tear down the walls of the adversary, to push back the boundary and to take territory in the spirit. Oh God, we are completely and totally ready and committed to being intercessors. We are completely and totally ready to do everything that you are calling us to do. Come on now, lift up your hands, and I want you to let that flow out of your mouth right now. We don't need no music right now. Oh, we need to let
let that tongue speak out. Lift up your hands now in the name of the Lord. Let there be a fresh fire, a fresh flow, and a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost that would fall on your church here tonight. Somebody get out in the aisle. Somebody get to the front right now and throw them hands up and say, God, I am ready. Don't kneel, stand. In the name of the Lord, let the power of the Holy Ghost flow. Come on, you can make it, but you gotta pray in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost ain't just a once a month occurrence. I gotta do it every day. It's gotta flow through me every day. Some of you think we're crazy. We're about to get crazy here tonight. Come on, I wish somebody would dive off right now. Somebody go a little further. The power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, church, this is apostolic. This is apostolic. This is apostolic. He anda mahaki anda namo hosi anda ye. He anda ye namo hosi anda.